I can't begin to tell you what a treat it is to look out here and see some different faces than what I'm accustomed to. Usually there's a fellow there and a fellow there and a fellow there and one over there, and they're either sleeping or making faces at me. So it's kind of nice to see some new faces out there. I had always thought that if the time were to ever come for me to preach here, that I'd be very nervous and that my knees would be knocking together and that I'd just be totally distraught. Well, I was right. It's a different type of place to preach. But I'll tell you, there's one thing that does comfort my heart, and I'm sure this is true with the other fellows too. Even though we may be nervous when we stand before you, it's a good nervousness. It's good to know that even though we may be, scared in our shoes up here, it's good to know that there are people out there who are for us. And it's good to know that there are people who are praying for us and want us to do great things for the Lord. And that means a great amount to each one of us. It means a lot to us to know that you are praying for us and that you are remembering us. And even though I may be nervous up here, you can just pass that aside, perhaps. Let's turn in our Bibles to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. I'll trust that you'll bear with me this morning. My voice has been very weak of late. So if I tend to get very quiet, you'll know it's not because I don't believe what I'm preaching, it's but that my voice is a little bit on the shaky side. Malachi chapter 3, we're going to be reading verse 6. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Before we go to the Lord's Word, let's look to Him in a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank Thee this morning that Thou art a God. Lord, we thank Thee that Thou art a faithful God to us. Lord, that Thou art a refuge to whom we can come. Lord, one whose heart is open to us, Thy people. Father, we plead with Thee this morning that Thou wouldst come down and be in our midst. Lord, that Thou wouldst open Thy Word to our hearts and our hearts to Thy Word. Lord, we seek Thy face this morning. Lord, we want to worship Thee. Lord, we want to see Christ as we have never seen Him before. Lord, we pray that Thy faithfulness would extend to us this morning. Lord, that Thou wouldst indeed come down and commune with Thy people. Lord, I pray that Thy Spirit would be in this place with us this morning. Lord, pour Thy Spirit even upon me as I seek to deliver that which Thou hast given. Lord, we look to Thee. We need Thee. We seek for Thee. Come to us, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Christians today are plagued by fear and doubt. Many feel that there is no freedom from the anxiety that they feel in their hearts. It may seem strange, but the feeling of fear, and especially guilt, haunts the hearts and minds of many Christians. More amazing still is the fact that although these people will readily tell you that they have great liberty in Christ, the effects of guilt and fear seem to hold them in complete bondage. I firmly believe that the cause for the anxiety and bondage in the hearts is a lack of knowledge of God. We as Christians find ourselves in such slavery to guilt and to doubts because we have no true knowledge of the God we serve and worship. We have no true enjoyment of the security that is to be found in knowing God. We just don't have insight into the person of our God. One attribute of our God in particular that is given very little thought is the immutability of God, or the unchangingness of God. I know in myself, this is very true of me. Few have been the times that I have actually sat down and meditated on the fact that I have an unchanging God. My friends, there is
tremendous blessing and security awaiting those believers who meditate on the fact that we have a God that does not change. It is my desire, therefore, to focus our attention today on this wonderful theme. We have an immutable God. Let us think on this. Let us ponder the meanings of such a truth. Notice with me the words of our text, chapter 3 of Malachi, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Consider with me the presentation that the Lord makes within our text. But also, I would want us to look this morning at the application of this same truth. Mr. Cairns would call this perhaps a Puritan sermon. Noticing the doctrine that the Lord presents in His Word, and then noticing how it applies to our own hearts. First, let's notice the presentation of the truth. God is an unchanging God. I am the Lord. I change not. I am the Lord. I change not. Here God is stating for all mankind that He in no way changes. He is ever as He has been, and He ever shall be as He is now. He is immutable. But how is this so? How does the great I Am in this particular passage show us that He Himself is an unchanging God to His people? Well, first we see it in His person. In His person. Our God in His person is ever the same. His essence, that which we call God, never changes. This may be first seen in the very name of God Himself. Now, it's not apparent readily, but in this text we do have the name of God. For I am. That might be translated Jehovah. Here we have the personal name of God. It's taken from the verb in Hebrew to be. The great I Am. The I Am of Exodus chapter 3 when Moses was standing before the burning bush. He asked, who may I say is the one that sends me? And the response is given, I am that I am. We have in the very name of God the fact that God does not change. He does not change in His person. We deal ever with the same person. The person to whom our souls and our hearts yearn, to whom they go, to whom they crave, to the person that we deal with, that person never changes. He is ever the same. He ever stands in the same relationship to His people, for His person is always the same. Our God, the great Jehovah, is ever our Father, to whom we may run as a little child. He has His arms open wide. It's never different to His children. His person is always the same. He's always our Father. He's always our Shepherd. The same one who has guided us in the past is faithful to be the same in the future because He never changes. God shall ever be the Shepherd to His people. Likewise, He shall always be our Defender. In times when people may rail on us because of our beliefs, in times when we find the enemy oppressing, when Satan is coming with all his thousands of fiery darts, we find that God on our behalf is ever the same. He is always our Defender, for in His person, He is the same. He is always our friend. He's one to whom we can go with our problems and one who will understand. God never changes in His friendship towards His people. He is always the same. He is always our High Priest. We do not have to worry that one day Christ will be rejected of God, that our High Priest no longer will be able to intercede for us, that our High Priest will not take it upon Himself to plead on the behalf of God's people.
Christ ever shall be our high priest, because in the person of God you do not see change. God is always the same. And I would also have us to note that these truths are not affected by circumstances. There is no circumstance that can arise in the life and the heart of the believer that would ever cause God's person to change, God's relationship towards that person to change. Circumstances cannot affect our God in His unchangeableness. But praise God, neither can our enemies. There is none that can go to God, that can mount up into the heavens to pull God off the throne. God is forever sovereign. And the fact that He is unchanging is not affected by those who would deny God, who would say there is no God, who would seek to lessen the influence of the person of God by their own beliefs, by their own things that they say about God. God in His person is ever the same. It is inherent in His very name, I am, to my people. But also, His contact with manhood did not affect His person. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Christ, when He came in contact with human flesh, was not changed. God was not changed. There are many who might say, well, Christ simply became a man and He died as a man. My friend, as Christ was before He came in contact with flesh, so He was while He was here amongst us. And so He is even now, as He is in the heavens. God in His person was not affected by Jesus Christ taking on flesh. It was not a combining of the two, but it was a union of two different, completely different natures. God changes not in His person. But also God changes not in His properties, in His attributes. If a person in His essence is always the same, that which is true about that person is likewise unchanging. God's attributes are not lessened by time. As time goes on, God is not less powerful. God is not less holy. God is not less wise, less infinite, less eternal. Everything that was true about God before is true about God now in His attributes and shall be ever the same. But also, His abilities are not lessened with time either. The abilities of God remain the same. He is not less able to hear the cries of His people today as He was in the day when Elijah called to God and brought down fire upon the altar. We have the same God who is able to hear us today as He was in that time. God is no less able to defeat Satan today, even though we see Satan's forces manifested all around us, as He was in the day when He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. We have the same God, and He's able to defeat Satan as easy today as He was in the past. He is not less able to subdue our iniquities either. Christ is as able to forgive and to bear away the sins of His people today as He was the day when He was on the cross. Christ can subdue our iniquities in the same power that He exhibited on the cross. God takes no less delight in showing mercy to His people today as He was at any other point. This truth was a truth that, when I considered it, brought great freedom to my own heart. The fact that God delights in giving His people mercy. And I came to realize that even though there might be a time when I feel my heart is cold, when I do not feel close to the Lord, when I feel that God's love is 1,000 miles away from me,
And I have perhaps sinned. God cannot forgive me. I just don't feel that He's as willing to show me mercy now as a time perhaps when I was close to Him, when my heart yearned for Him. But there was this truth that God delights to show His people mercy never changes, set me free in the fact that I came to realize that even when my heart is cold, even when I feel like God is 1,000 miles away from me, He takes as much delight in having me come to Him and to ask Him for forgiveness as He does in the time when I feel the closest to Him. Our God does not change. His willingness to forgive us does not change. His delight in showing mercy to us when we plead to Him for forgiveness, when we plead to Him for His presence to be with us, it does not change. If it delighted God when we were in the closest place to Him, it delights God when our heart is the coldest. We have a God that does not change in His abilities. But we also have a God that doth not change in His purpose. That which is in the mind of God doth not change. As God cannot change, neither can that which is in the mind of God change. That which God decreed come to pass. Job 23, verse 13 says, He is in one mind, and who can turn Him? And what His soul desireth, even that He doeth. Psalm 33, 11 says, The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. Psalm 119, 89, Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. That which God has planned, that which God has purposed, shall transpire because God doth not change. But what is the purpose of God? What is the plan of God that does not change? Well, first it is to defend and reward righteousness. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9 says, For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. Psalm 4, 3, But know that the Lord hath set Him apart that is godly for Himself. The Lord will hear when I call. Romans 5, 9, Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Here is the cause for joy in the believer's heart. What joy we can have to know that what God has purposed in His own mind shall come to pass. We have a covenant God who has covenanted with His people. That covenant that He has made with and for His people shall not change because God has decreed it. He is ever near to help us. He has promised to help us. We can take joy and refuge in this fact that God has purposed to help His people. Therefore, that help shall come. But even more a joy to our hearts is the fact that God hath purposed to save us. My friend, there is ground for security. God has purposed to save us. And as God is unchangeable, that purpose of God to bring His own people to Himself, to be with Him forevermore, that cannot change. My friend, if you are in Christ, take heart, there is peace in the fact that we have a God whose purpose does not change. We shall ever be with God. It's a blessed thought. It's a blessed thought that we can never, ever be in a place of condemnation because God has promised to bring us unto Himself. What is the purpose of God? To defend and reward righteousness, but also to defeat and punish wickedness. Psalm 145, 20 says, The Lord preserveth them that love Him, but all the wicked will He destroy. As sure is of the fact that God shall bring His people to Himself, is the fact that the wicked shall be destroyed. My friends, this should grip our hearts. This should burden our hearts. When we see a lost world out there whom God hath said they shall be destroyed if they are in wickedness, that should burden our hearts. For there is no escape from that destruction. If God has purposed it, there is no escape. The wicked shall be turned into hell. There is no way that God will relent from that sentence, for He has decreed it. It is unchanging. There is no abating of that fury either that God will put on those to whom He has condemned. Nahum 1:6 says, "Who can stand before His indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of His anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and rocks are thrown down by Him." The condemned of God shall never ever know a lessening of the fury of God, as God's hatred of sin is now, it shall ever, ever, ever be the same. And my friend, if you are one without Christ, know this, that God's fury upon you shall never be lessened. There is no escape for you. There is no abating of the fury of God upon you. Worse than that, there is no end. There is no end. The sentence is an eternal sentence. Forever. C.H. Spurgeon paints a picture of a man who may be in hell. He had been there 10,000 years. He turns around to look at the gate from whence he was thrown in, and he sees above it the sign that says, "Damned forever." Another myriad of thousands of years goes along. He turns around and looks. He cannot believe the fury that he's been experiencing. He looks to see if maybe God has changed his mind. He looks to the sign, "Damned forever." My friend, if you are here without Christ, God's wrath abides on you, and it shall not be abated. It shall have no end, except you come to Christ. For there is the release from that sentence. It's in Christ. God is not changing in His person. God is not changing in His properties. God is not changing in His purpose. But also God is not changing in His promises. God covenants with His people. There are promises that stand to the people of God. And as God does not change, those promises do not change. Why? Because God is incapable of lying. Numbers 23:19 says, "God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good?" 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "All the promises of God in Him are yea and amen, unto the glory of God by us." God cannot lie. As God is infinitely holy, and as God shall be holy, for He changes not. Therefore, the word that God has given to His people is something that cannot be changed. There's comfort in that fact. That those things that we see in God's Word, when God promises us that He will be with us, when God tells us that He will always be there, His presence is there, that God, when God promises that He will sustain us, when God promises that He will hear us and comfort us and ultimately save us, friend, there is comfort, there is joy, there is peace in those words to know that the promises of God ever stand, because God never changes and God is always the same. God hath made a covenant with His people. Hebrews 6:17 says, "God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. God has covenanted with His people. God has promised promises to His people. Hebrews 6:17 tells us that these things shall never change because God cannot lie. God's love is the basis of these promises, of these mercies. It constantly flows out upon the people of God. If there is any feeling of change in the heart of the believer, it is because of the change in Him. My friend, when God gives us a promise, and we come to the place where we go through toil and tribulation and trials, and our hearts feel like this promise is not true for me now, and I can't lay hold of it. My friend, it's not because God has changed. That promise ever stands. It's because your heart has changed. The rock upon which those promises are grounded stands firm. Yet the Bible does not promise us that those that stand on the rock shall not be wavered by the wind of sin. The heart of the believer may change, but my friend, our God's promises ever stand sure. The only reason that we ever feel doubt, that we ever feel guilt, that we ever feel anxiety in our hearts is because we take our eyes off Christ. When you feel that you don't know what to do, that God has left you, it's because you've taken your eyes off Christ. That's what He's saying to us. I am the same. In every way, I am the same. Keep this in your mind. Keep this before your eyes. I am the same. What a completely overwhelming truth we have before us. God, our Savior, never changes, nor can He change. All that concerns His being, His attributes, His love for His people and hatred of sin is and ever shall be the same. That is the truth that He has put before our eyes today. But what are we to glean from this? How does this directly affect our souls? What is the application that we can draw for our own hearts from the fact that our God doth not change? Let us look at the last phrase of our text. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. In other words, to those to whom the great I Am has given His covenant, they are absolutely secure. That is the truth that God would have us to know. That those to whom He hath made Himself God, those to whom He hath covenanted, they are absolutely secure in Him. The idea of consuming means to be utterly destroyed, completely laid waste, completely annihilated, to perish. God says those that are in Christ, those to whom I have covenanted, those people who are my people, they cannot be consumed. How? Well, I would have us to notice a couple things. First, our security. That security, that promise that God has made to us is not dependent on our own character. This is evident by the words that the Lord presents before us. He makes mention of a name there. He says, "Ye sons of Jacob." That's kind of an unusual thing to say. God's taking His covenant people in hand. He's showing to His own people the fact that He's an unchanging God, and yet He calls them the sons of Jacob. What are they to learn from that? Well, you think about Jacob. You think about the kind of man that he was. He was a surplanter, a deceiver. Now, of course, his name later on was changed. But in this state, the thing that goes along with Jacob is the fact that this one is one whose character that was not meritorious for the blessing that God gave to him. Jacob. This tells us that our ability or capacity to do good is not that which gains us our security. None of us here are able to do enough good to warrant God giving us that security. To know that we shall ever be with Him because of that covenant promise. None of us are worthy of that because of our own abilities. And even more than that, it's not in our own ability to trust. This is almost my own personal testimony. It was a long time before I came to realize the fact that God did not accept me simply because I trusted Him. Simply because I could look back to a day, a Sunday morning or Sunday night or whatever, when I came down an aisle, bowed down and prayed a prayer. That particular act, that ability of my own heart to trust God is not that which gave me that security. My own sincere prayers, although they were sincere, and we must be sincere, that was not the thing that caused this security to abide on me. And it wasn't really until a few years ago that I really came to realize that the reason God's people have security is because of the unchangeableness of God, because God hath chosen them. That's why they are secure. Because they are in Christ. That's where they have the grounds of that security. Because of what they are now by the work of God, not the work of their own mind or own hearts. Our security is grounded on the election of our own covenant God. We are not consumed. God says, because I have chosen you, you are secure not only today, in this time, in this life, through these circumstances. You will never be consumed then. No, you shall never perish. I shall not allow that to happen. But also, you are secure for eternity. You shall be with me because I have set my love upon you. Well, that's a glorious thought. What a wonderful thought to the heart of the believer to know that God has set His love on us and that love shall take us to God. For God cannot lie, and His promises are ever sure and ever the same. Ephesians 2, 4 through 9 tells us, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. My friends, there is the peace that your heart may long for. In the fact that God changes not, there is freedom from guilt and fear and doubt. You may be free from the wondering whether you may ever know the blessing of God and feel His love even though your heart may be cold. There is freedom from that wondering. Freedom from the feeling that I can never know God's blessing on my heart and life. God's love for His people never changes, for He never changes. He has chosen you, believer friend. His eyes are ever on you. His ears are ever open to your cry. His heart is ever delighted by the child of His who seeks to come to Him. Fix your heart on our unchanging Savior. Meditate on the fact that His person and His plans for His people shall never change. Dwell on the promises that stand as an unchanging rock. Rest your heart on the love that is never lessened in its intensity. Look to our unchanging God. There is your joy. There is your peace. There is your freedom from guilt. Look to your unchanging God. For I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Let's pray. Father, we thank Thee, Lord, today for the fact that we have a God that doth not change in His love for His people. Father, we thank Thee that we have a God who is as powerful today as He was ever in the past. Lord, we thank Thee that we have a God who is ever as ready to hear our pleas and the burdens of our hearts as He was in the past. God, help us to meditate on Thee. Help our hearts to be fixed on Thee and on Thy person. Lord, we need Thy working in our hearts that we may look unto Thee. God, bless us, we pray. Go with us. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.